You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Good evening, Dad. Good evening, Tish, and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Tapelo. How are you?
I am good. Just got entangled with this dad thing here because we are told it's a bad thing. So there you go. How was your day?
It was a good day. Thank you. I hope you had a good day too.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't bad. Thank you so much once again for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it. Let's talk about then this debt thing. Is it necessary or is it a luxury or maybe some might say even a crutch?
Whoa, I think it's all of the things that you have described.
Mm.
Of a debt of responsibility to take good care of it. That's stewardship.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's your physical capabilities, your faculties, money, time, you have a responsibility to use that judiciously and apply it for the best purpose.
Mm.
So I think those two concepts are important for us to frame a conversation around debt. Mm. You know, to say firstly, there's temperance, and then there's stewardship.
Mm, there's temperance and then there's stewardship. Are these concepts mutually exclusive or are you saying they are the same?
I think, you know, they're not mutually exclusive. They may not be strictly the same, but I think they work in tandem, and understanding each of them is really important.
Yeah.
You know, there are probably behaviors, you know, that you exhibit that demonstrate that you probably have temperance.
Yeah.
And may also then indicate, you know, good stewardship.
Yeah.
But they are not interchangeable. I think you still need to be temperate, and I think you still need to exercise good stewardship.
Mm, I suppose for us as Christians, then we take it a notch higher, right?
Well, it depends on the comparison. Each time you try to compare, you always want to know what's on the other side.
Yes.
So, you know, when you frame it in the concept of Christians and non-Christians, you almost then want to say, so what is it that Christians do or supposedly do that non-Christians do not?
I see.
And then that becomes a whole completely different conversation altogether. But the reason why I say when we speak about debt, we need to speak about temperance and we need to speak about stewardship.
Yeah.
Is, you know, if we were to go back to say, let us define debt, debt is effectively, you know, money that is lent to you that you're supposed to pay back.
Mm.
That's what it is in its most basic form.
Yes.
It's money that is actually not yours, that is lent to you.
Yeah.
And the person that lends you that money expects you to give that money back to them.
Yeah.
So that's where the concept of stewardship comes in, right?
Yeah.
Because this is not yours, right?
Yes.
So you have a responsibility to the owner of the money, and the responsibility in this case is that you will pay the money back.
Yes.
So you've got to be a good steward as far as that is concerned. The temperance then comes in, why do you actually need the money and how much do you need and what do you actually use it for, right? Are you using it in a constructive manner? Are you using it to prop up your excessive, you know, requirements
lifestyle,
or desires for things that you probably have no business desiring or requiring, or also just, you know, from a temperance perspective, how much debt are you taking on?
Yeah,
because the person that lends you money does that from the point of view of, well, you're good for it, right?
Yeah,
you will be able to pay it back in the future.
Yeah,
so you know, the question then around temperance becomes, how much of your future earnings do you want to give away? Because effectively that's what it is.
That's what it is.
How much of your future earnings do you want to give away, and what are you giving them away for? But also the issue of stewardship also comes in, because how much of those future earnings are guaranteed? So many things can go wrong. So many things can happen.
Yeah.
You know, the best laid, you know, someone once said, you know, God looks at the plans of man and laughs because man cannot influence the future. So as you get into debt, you've got to also know that, well, what I'm saying to you is, give me a couple of 100,000 shillings, rands, dollars, whatever it is. And because I'm going to earn so much in the future, I'm going to be able to give you back that money. And, you know, we go through a process of, you know, lenders go through a process of trying to figure out how sure they are that this money will come back to them.
Difficult
and then
task.
They will give it to you.
Pretty difficult task, eh?
Pretty difficult task, yeah, you know. But effectively, what you are buying when you take debt is you are accelerating time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody sits there and says to you, I've got time and you have impatience. So because I can wait, I'm going to give you my money now because you can't wait until you've made it.
Sure.
But I know you're going to make it because that's the whole crux of me lending it to you, that you're going to give it back to me.
Yeah.
So then that whole interplay of your stewardship and your temperance also comes in, right? To say, is it purely because I can't wait until I've earned this money for me to be able to spend it? Or is it such that my circumstances are, even before I've earned the money, I need to spend it now because of a pressing need, right?
Yeah.
So that's where people now start thinking, okay, good debt and bad debt, right? Because so if all I want to do, I might have a really good job and it pays really well, and maybe at the end of the month, I can save, call it 500 rand, or that I don't have to spend.
Yeah.
So I know that in a year, if I save 500 rand every single month, I'm going to have, you know, 6,000 rand.
Yeah.
And then now my friends say, let's go on holiday in Cape Town. It's only January. I've only saved for a couple of months. And I think to myself, hey, I also want to go to Cape Town. So maybe let me go and borrow 6,000 rand because that's what I need to go on holiday. And I'll be able to pay it over the course of the month. So now I go on holiday in February. I don't go in December.
So
all you've done is you've bought time, right? You've brought December back into February, but somebody else is sitting on the other end with the belief that, well, I'm going to get my money back because this guy earns so much.
Yeah.
But then now the question actually now becomes, I don't know what the headlines are saying where you are, but where I am, they're not saying Cape Town's going to disappear by December.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Right? It's still going to be there, right? So do I go and borrow this money and go on holiday in February? Or do I hold off and say, hey, guys, it's okay. I really, really want to go, but I can't afford it right now. I'm going to be able to go in December. If you guys can't hold off until December, then you kind of have to go without me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So in that respect now, it becomes a case of, okay, what is that good debt to get into? Or is that bad debt? So depending on how important this holiday is to you with your friends, you could view it as good debt, right?
Yes.
But if you find yourself now in May or in April and you have an emergency and you need to go and borrow money, and then they look and they say, oh, but you've already borrowed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we can't give you much more. We know you need 5,000.
Yeah.
But we can only give you 1,000. So now here's something that's really, really important that you can't do because you've borrowed something else that you could have put off. At that point, maybe that holiday in February doesn't look like such a good idea.
Yeah.
So there's always give and take.
Yeah.
Especially in as far as debt is concerned.
Because
you've got access to it. You have the ability to repay. Somebody can lend it to you.
Yeah.
But you also need to be temperate in accessing it so that you're accessing it for the right reasons. Right?
Yes.
So that you're not finding yourself lamenting what you've used this debt for when push actually comes to shove.
Yeah.
So that's why I say for me, it's an issue of temperance.
Yeah.
It's also an issue of stewardship because some of the things that we borrow money to be able to do are things that we can do without borrowing money if we manage our money better.
Definitely. Right? Definitely.
Exactly.
I agree with you there. So you've touched on it a little bit and even expounded on it. But good debt, bad debt, what's the differentiator?
There isn't a single answer.
I think
because people's circumstances differ.
Yeah.
But primarily, you know, part of a rule of thumb is when you are borrowing money, you don't want to borrow at the maximum affordability. So people do this, right? The bank comes and says to you, we can lend you 500,000 rand to buy a car.
Yeah.
So I go and I look for a car for 550,000 rand and I try and negotiate a discount, right? So I then do end up buying a car maybe for 510,000 or for 500 or for 550,000. So that's bad debt because you've kind of maxed out your ability to borrow,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You also want to be judicious in your application of debt. One of the other things that people consider when they talk of good debt or bad debt is, you know, are you borrowing over the long term for things that are near term? So, you know, am I borrowing, you know, money to go on a holiday and I come back in 2 or 3 weeks and then I'm paying this holiday, this money off over the next couple of years, right? Does that make sense? That doesn't make sense. That doesn't sound like good debt.
Yeah.
So you borrow money for expenditure, and then you spend a whole lot of time trying to pay this back.
Eesh.
People consider good debt to be debt that you use to finance assets.
Yes.
Because the thinking around houses, let's call it the classic thinking around houses, is, for call it 100,000 rand, should I be able to find one? The value of that house goes up over time, and hopefully the value of the house goes up at a rate that is higher than, you know, the rate of interest that I'm paying. So if I had to wait, for instance, until I could afford that house 10 or 15 or 20 years down the road, I'm basically chasing a moving target. But by being able to borrow and get in now, I can then actually afford the house and then be able to pay it off. But also, because of the nature of what I've spent the money on, you know, it's not considered bad debt because, you know, there's something tangible that I've used for the money, the money for that you can see. So typically borrowing for for the things that aren't there a few days after you've borrowed the money is never a really good idea.
Yeah. You mentioned something about maximum capacity there. I suppose that could be the yardstick because it almost sounds like it's relative what good or bad debt is. Depends where you are and all those sort of stuff. Because some people might say, well, it's bad debt to you, but to me it's not. Because, you know, for one or other reason, there is context to it in their own life. So maybe the yardstick that you proposing is definitely what I would agree with, to say, are you now going to be at maximum capacity when you have to pay it back? Now, we often hear of differentiating between wants and needs and why that is important. Does the same principle, you know, kind of apply then when you're deciding between good or bad debt, or you can just wing it somehow?
I think if we go back to the example that we spoke about earlier, just around financing a holiday with your friends versus actually building up savings, I think typically you don't want to finance your wants using debt, and you also want to be able to build the capacity to finance your needs from your own resources, because you don't want to be dependent on other people for the things that you need, right? Because you don't always get access to debt, or you are not always qualified for debt when you need it.
Yeah.
So, you know, having to rely on debt to finance your needs is a very, very risky predicament to be in. Because when you also look at the access to lending or access to debt, you've got the banks, you've got, you know, what you call first tier lenders, where the bank lends you money. The bank is very clear what the terms and conditions are. They have a customer service charter of some sort, so they're not going to be knocking on your door at 2 a.m. saying, we want our money. You know, they're going to engage with you in a professional way. And then now, if you've conducted your debt in such a way that you can no longer speak to the bank about it, now you need to speak to Titch. Titch has got a couple of friends who walk around with baseball bats in the boot of their car. They can stop you at the traffic lights and say, hey, it wants his money back, right? So, so when you find that you're now supporting your needs through debt, that's a really, really bad place to be, right? But you also don't want to be supporting your wants through debt because, well, your wants are really not that big a deal. You could do without them.
You could do without them.
But yeah, you could do without them. But also, you don't want to finance your needs with your debt because you know, you're vulnerable. You make yourself vulnerable to all sorts of abuse, or, you know, you end up, if you can't get money from, you know, first tier lenders, you end up going to the baseball bat crew, you know, who probably don't have such savory way of dealing with you because you haven't been able to pay them back.
Yeah, definitely. So then can you be able to be in debt and still live within your means, if I am taking from what you're saying?
I think so. I don't think debt in and of itself represents you living outside of your means. Because remember, also, like we say, you know, the bank will never lend you money that you can't make.
Yeah.
You know, a friend of mine always has this theory. He says, look, guys, everyone thinks the bank has got a vault full of money. The bank doesn't have a vault full of money. His philosophical thinking is the bank has got a vault full of time.
Yeah.
And we all go to the bank and say, listen, I can make R1 million over the next 20 years, but I don't want to wait 20 years to spend the million rand. So the bank comes and says to you, okay, so let's sign a contract that says you can give me R1 million in 20 years. But actually, you don't give me R1 million. You give me R1.5 million for my trouble. Mm. So let's sign a mortgage agreement. Yeah. And you do, right?
Yeah.
So the bank will never give you money that you can't pay it back.
Mm.
You can actually make that money and pay it back. What you just don't have is the patience to wait until you've made the money.
Yeah.
So the bank comes and says, hey, we have the patience.
Yeah.
If you don't, so here's the money. And then we can sit and wait while you earn the money and pay us back. And guess what? For our trouble, you actually pay us a lot more. So when the bank gives you like R1 million, what they're actually saying is, you're probably good for 1.5, you know, just over a longer period of time than you are willing to wait for it.
Yeah.
But we can wait.
Yeah, sure.
You know, but we can wait. So
you've used an analogy that makes the world of finance and economics and investments much, much easier. Because I think if we looked at things like that and actually play them out in our lives, that's what it comes down to. You just don't have the time. The bank has the time. Okay, so you don't have the time. We have the time. We've got the money, but we want plus X percentage on top of that. And that's how I'm saying, well, for the next 20 years, I'm going to spend my time, you know, paying you back that I don't necessarily have right now. But over the next 20 years, I'm going to do, that's what it means, basically.
Yes, that's the thinking. So when somebody lends you money, when the bank lends you money, they're actually saying, oh, you're good for it.
Yeah.
You can pay us back. All things being equal, we've done our analysis. We're not going to be right all the time because then, you know, some of these facilities end up in collections and all those things. But I think we know enough to be right enough times for us to actually say, we'll give you this money and you pay us back over the next 20 years.
Yes.
Yes. We know enough to be comfortable to be able to do that, right?
Yeah.
But they're effectively telling you that, hey, you can make this money.
Yeah.
You just don't want to wait. And there's nothing wrong with that because there may very well be valid reasons. So if I start a family and now we need 3 bedrooms, right?
Mm.
And not just the 1 little bedsitter that I was in as a bachelor.
Yeah.
Then we need a bigger home to house our children. So we'll go and we'll access a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
But we still need to be judicious about it. We still need to exercise temperance. We still need to exercise stewardship. And in some instances, those choices around temperance and stewardship are made for us because if I'm earning 200, you know, shillings or 200 rands or $200 every single month, the bank is never going to expect me to repay them $500 dollars every month.
Definitely.
Right? They will say, well, listen, he earns 200. Maybe we can take 20 or 30 or 40 or $50 every month away from him.
Mm.
And what the bank is actually doing is they're forcing you to be temperate.
Yeah.
They're forcing you to exercise good stewardship over your resources, to apply your resources in such a way that even after you've paid them, there's still enough for you to live off and for your family to be able to get by.
Yeah.
So that's why I said, you know, in the context of the faith that, you know, that you and I share, you can't talk of debt without talking of temperance as well as stewardship.
Yeah, so banks are not really bad people. They're not really bad. They still want to think about your well-being as well.
Yes, well, yeah, that's another way to look at it. Right?
Yeah.
To say, because they're also trying to make sure they get their money back.
Yes, definitely.
The bank, Yeah, the bank's business is not chasing you around town and repossessing your car or kicking you out of your house. That's not their business. They won't shy away from it if matters get to that level, to that stage. But they'd much rather prefer you just paid back the money.
Yeah,
actually,
definitely. Yeah. So can you live then without debt, especially in this day and age, like without debt whatsoever? And if so, is it a wise thing?
I think that you can.
Okay.
You know, do you want to? Because remember, we also spoke of opportunities, right?
Yeah.
To say, if I'm raising a young family now and we need 3 or 4 bedrooms,
yeah,
it's not going to make sense for me 20 years from now to suddenly now have a house with 3 or 4 bedrooms because
yes.
all these children are moving out
yes.
and they're going ahead and they're doing their own thing. So there's a place for debt in our existence,
yeah.
in our lives.
Yeah.
We have to exercise temperance and stewardship in
yeah.
how we access it and how we use it.
Yeah.
Is it possible to live without debt? Yes, I think it is.
Sure.
It's quite possible to do that. At what stage in your life, perhaps, you know, maybe in your later years, you actually want to be debt free? Because if the main instrument that allows us to access debt is our earnings or our salary, you don't want to reach retirement and you still have debt that needs to
yes,
be paid off. Because
yes.
now you use your retirement benefits
yes.
to pay off your debt,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, you still need to survive. So you quickly go to destitute, you know, from a guy that was probably working and living well and being able to afford the things that they like. Suddenly now you can't.
Mm.
So it's almost to say, because we use our income to leverage debt, we are probably better off having debt earlier in our working lives than in our
sure.
later years.
Okay.
As we get older, you want to be whittling that debt down
yes.
so that, you know, by the time that your earnings, you know, your retirement earnings or your earnings are no longer coming as consistently, you are debt free.
Yeah.
So that's really important. But another way that can enable you to live debt free is actually to, you know, to live within your means. A lot of us, and I emphasize the us, you know. When we begin to work, we do not form the right money habits. We create appetites and desires for things that we can pay for, but probably can't afford. So we leverage our future earnings through that debt already. Whereas if you had probably started a little slower, you know, not gone as quickly into some of these arrangements or bought the latest, you know, most expensive car because all your peers were driving them and maybe drove something that's not as fancy, you could find yourself, you know, debt-free a lot sooner than not. So
True. So
it's possible to live without debt, but debt definitely has its place.
Yeah.
And if you are accessing it, you know, practice stewardship, practice temperance, And as much as possible, the older you get, you want to be whittling this
yes.
debt down,
yeah.
Whatever debt you have. Yeah,
sure. And with any debt, whether it's good or bad, there's always that healthy credit score. That's almost like the boogeyman that's sitting somewhere behind the curtains there. And a lot of us wonder, how do I even start working on my credit score so that it's healthier, smarter, you know, I can be able to then access debt, whether for good or whatever reasons. But how do I start working on that as we draw to a close?
Okay, so in the context of South Africa, and I don't know about other countries, South Africa's got the National Credit Act.
Yeah.
And, you know, they allow you to access your credit report, I think, once a year
yes.
at no charge.
Yes.
So all the credit bureaus,
yeah.
You know, they'd like to think that this information is synchronized. So you're not going to pick up a credit bureau report from one for free and then another
Hopefully
one from another
so.
Bureau for
yeah.
free. But you can access your credit report without cost to yourself, as far as I remember, every
yes,
single
you can.
Year.
Yeah.
So that's something I think that's really, really important. If you feel that you need to manage your credit score and you've got credit arrangements all over the place, just get that credit score and understand it.
Yeah.
It will tell you if there are things that are of concern, like late payments or skip payments or overextended, you know, or an overextended debt profile, so that you begin to understand that. But also, you know, if you're going to have a credit score, it means that you actually do have credit, right? So And at some point, you know, you want to plan, you want to go, you want to build a family, you're probably going to need to access some debt of some sort. You know, some proponents say to you, you know, take up some debt and demonstrate your capability to manage it. I'm not going to be prescriptive around what that debt is, or, you know, or how long or how much it should be for. But, you know, your credit reference can also show that there's no debt, you know, and it keeps a record of the facilities you have, how well you pay them off, how long you've had them for. It also has a record of, you know, facilities that you've paid off. If judgment has been taken against you for bad debt, you know, that will also show on there. If you're undergoing rehabilitation, debt rehabilitation, that will also show on your credit profile. The key to managing it, I think we've spoken about it, you know, quite extensively, is, you know, be temperate with your debt, be a good steward as far as it is concerned. Don't take on more than you actually need, because then, you know, then the money is available to you. Who knows what you'll do to it? You know, be very diligent around making sure you make your payments when they're due, in the right amounts. You know, those are some of the things that you need to worry about if you want to maintain a good credit score.
A good credit score. As we wrap up, what I'm hearing is a good planning. Debt is debt, but there is a way in which you can be able to be smarter around your debt, so that, again, by the time you reach retirement, for example, you've already brought down that debt, but it has somehow worked for you in some other way throughout the years. Any final thoughts there as we bring it home, good versus bad debt?
I think ultimately, you want to be sober when you're taking on debt. You actually want to fully understand what you're taking it on for. So consult. I think there's just so much information out there, and unfortunately, some of the information is good, and some of it is bad. I'm sure there are people listening to us right now thinking, "What the heck are these guys on about? This doesn't make sense." And then they're probably, hopefully, some people listening and thinking, "You know, I think some of this resonates with me." But I think ultimately, you know, there are tenets which are beyond contention, you know, in the conversation that we've had. If you're borrowing money, if you're getting money from somebody, they expect to get their money back. They would not pay you that money if they did not have an above average sense of your ability to repay it. So effectively, what they are giving you is not money. They are just demonstrating their appetite to sit it out, to just say to themselves, "Well, you want this money now, you give it back to me next month. I don't mind. I've got time. I can wait until next month until the money comes back to me, because ultimately it's mine." So, you know, that should be a sobering thought for you, to say, "Well, but if he can see that I can afford this, why is it that I feel I'm compelled to have to borrow money to make it happen?" Right. And I think that's an important reflection point, because you may then actually come to a point that actually says, "Hold on, I'm just being impatient. Maybe I need to be just a little patient until I've actually made the money, and so that I can buy this." And that may not always be possible. But even then, you've got to be careful how much you're borrowing. You know, you don't want to go to full tilt. You don't want to also borrow, because sometimes when you borrow money, people listen to you if you speak well and you make a good case of whatever you want to do with that money. Whether it's believable or not, you know, it depends on who's lending you money, but you yourself will know whether you're speaking truth or not.
Right? Yeah.
So have that conversation with yourself, just around why you're borrowing. You know, do you need this? Do you need to borrow now or not? And then it's probably less advisable to borrow for the things that you want, because they're not really that necessary. But I think if you find yourself having to borrow for the things that you actually need, then I think you're in trouble. And you need to actually stop, and you need to actually have a really, really hard conversation while you're still ahead, because you're now at the mercy of whoever it is that can lend you money.
Sure. What a way to end it. Thank you, Teach. Once again, really appreciate your time, and may God continue to bless you and enlarge your territory, man. We thank you for your insights.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Tapla, and thank you to your listeners. I wish you all a really good evening. Thank you
so much. That was our elder there, Teach, talking to us, I think, on a very, very, very important topic of making sure that you are sober when you're going out for debt. Someone once said to me, why do you allow the bank to determine your money and how your money is spent? If they come to you and say you qualify for X, you must know how much money you have so that you can say no or yes.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.